Let's open to John 1, verse 35. So John 1, 35. I'm going to flip with you so that way I know as long as it takes to flip your Bible, it'll take to flip my Bible too. The first disciples we're going to see is Andrew here in the Gospel. So let's read. The next day, John the Baptist was again standing with two of his disciples. On seeing Jesus walking by, he said, "Look, God's Lamb." His two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and he asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" he said to them. "Come and see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and he remained with them the rest of the day. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who had heard John and followed Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. We can see the path of how Andrew came to know the Messiah. It's in verse 37. His two disciples heard him speaking. They heard who speaking? John the Baptist, who was a preacher. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. The direct person of their decision to follow the Messiah was a preacher. And that's their path, was through a preacher. That's path number one. So I'd like for you to notice the next context of this whole passage. It wasn't in a synagogue. It wasn't in a church anywhere. It was out in the open, in the streets somewhere. The way Jesus appealed to them and called out to them was by invitation. That is an invitation. And he said, and watch what he says. Jesus turned and saw them following him and asked, "What are you looking for?" You are invited to... He asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said, "Come and see." That was his invitation. That is an invitation. Jesus the Messiah invites you to come to him. You are invited to lay down the sin in your life, and he invites you. Now, there are some that are going to say, "Well, I'm not ready to come to Jesus yet. I still have to clean some things out in my life. I got to kind of sort it out." Listen, that's a very bad plan. You don't get it together and then come to Jesus. You first come to Jesus and you let him sort it out. He will put it together for you. That's how Jesus responded to him with that invitation. "Come to me, and I will fix your lives." The next disciple we'll see is Peter. And so if you notice the beginning of verse 40, he says, "One of the two who had heard John and had followed Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. The first thing he did was find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We found the Mashiach, the Messiah,' which means the one who has been anointed." He took him straight to Jesus. He was so excited about it, he took him straight to Jesus. And so Peter's path is family. He got to know Jesus through his family. Jesus brought his brother Andrew. He went to his brother Andrew and he brought him right away. That's the first thing he did. He was so happy he went to his brother. So if we go to John verse 42, it says, Andrew brought him to Jesus. Jesus took a look at him and said, if you follow me, verse 42. So Andrew brought him back to Jesus, and Jesus took a look at him, and Jesus said, "So, you are Simon, the son of John. And he says right away to him, you'll be known as Kepha. The name means rock. Peter, this emotional guy that switches from first, Lord, please wash my feet. You don't need to wash my feet. Don't wash my feet. And he says, I need to wash your feet. And the next thing that Peter says, well, then wash my whole body. So he switches from one end to the other. And so he's a very emotional guy. And if Peter was anything in that moment, it wasn't a rock. But Jesus speaks into his life what he is going to make him, not what he is. God doesn't call you because you're prepared. He calls you to prepare you. So by calling him rock, he gave him a foundation. And that was his calling. He told him what he was going to be. Now the third disciple is Philip. So let's look at verse 43. Again, John 1, verse 43. The next day, having decided to leave for Galilee, Jesus found Philip and said, follow me. That's it. No introduction, just follow me. Follow me now. The way he called him was by, exhortation or by encouragement, as most of us understand. By being challenged, he was thinking, so what do I do now? And Jesus says, follow me. And that was his encouragement. That was his confirmation. That was an answer to his prayer. And his path was direct. No special invitations, no family, just direct. You follow me. We go on to the fourth disciple and the last way, which was Nathanael. It says now, and we see this in verse 44, if you want to follow with me. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one that Moses wrote about in the Torah. Also the prophets. Is Jesus ben Joseph? Also Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth. Nathanael answered him, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? So he first told him, we found Jesus. And his response is, can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip says, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he remarked about him, here's a true son of Israel. Nothing false in him. Jesus didn't see the negativity in Nathanael, but he says, here comes the sincere, authentic person. Nathanael comes to Jesus through conversation, by having a talk with him. Verse 48 says, yeah, there we go. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Jesus practically says here, I saw you in a place where you thought nobody would see you. So it blows Nathanael's mind. And Nathanael says, verse 48, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, you believe all this just because I told you you were under a fig tree? You will see greater things than that. And then he said to him, yes, indeed. I tell you that you will see heaven open and angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man. But his path was conversation. And his calling was through affirmation. He confirmed who he was. The Messiah, the Son of God. God made you and he made me differently. So do you now see how it can be possible that all of us will respond to the call differently? The appeal to come to church differently and why it doesn't always work the same way? According to these four ways, it would only work a quarter of the time or 25% of the time. Invitation to church as sharing your faith is not the only way. It's one of the ways. telling about the Messiah, in other words, preaching to them, having conversation with them, telling your family members about the Lord Jesus, and also being direct. With some people, you have to be that way. You have to be direct. Different personalities, different paths to finding the Savior, different ways of being called. And I didn't see any of these disciples walk into synagogue and get converted there. So here's the thing. If you care, you're going to share. And if you don't, I want to know why. You would let someone die so tragically. Tragically? Yeah, tragically. You have the answer. You have the solution. You have the cure. You have the remedy. And you have the word of God, the gospel. They are condemned. So look what the Lord says in Isaiah 1:18-20. Come now, says the Lord. Let's talk this over together. Even if your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. If they are red as crimson, they'll be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Some people have to get it directly. And God is challenging them, and you have to tell them, if you think God doesn't care or doesn't exist, to pray to Him sincerely and test Him out. He calls you out by this verse. He says, come now. Let's talk this over. God says, me and you. Let me show you what I'm all about. Let me show you I'm the living God. And if you are willing and obedient, it'll be well with you. But if you rebel, you'll be condemned to hell. Nobody wants to die by the sword, so why would you want your friends to die by the sword? Why would you want your loved ones, your family members, your friends to die by the sword? Why would they? It's because they don't know there's a choice, because you haven't told them yet. Someone has to tell them that God has a path, He has a plan. They are blind and bound, and you are the light that is supposed to shine bright. It's not your problem or your duty to persuade them. All you have to do is just tell them. The persuasion is the job of the Holy Spirit. Only He persuades. So I want you to listen now very closely. The resources are His. The result is also. What's the only thing He asks for? Our effort. That's it. God says the rest of the job is mine. If they reject the message, are they rejecting you? No. They are rejecting God's word and God Himself. And whose is the result? God's, not yours. Your job is just to share. To care enough to share. So you made a choice, and now somebody else has to make a choice, but they can't. Because they don't know that they actually have a choice. That there's two paths in front of them. Care enough to share your faith. Just share your faith. Amen.